It's week 16, baby. Let's get those fantasy lineups set and those trophies ready to go up on your mantle. This is the CBSSports.com Fantasy Football Today podcast brought to you by Squarespace, who recently launched the latest version of their platform, Squarespace 7. It has a completely redesigned interface, integrations with Getty Images and Google Apps, 15 new templates, and an incredible new feature called Cover Pages. Try the new Squarespace at squarespace.com and enter offer code FUN at checkout to get 10% off. Squarespace, start here, go anywhere. Jamie Eisberg, Dave Richard with you as we rock through week 16. It's already underway thanks to that thrilling game between the Tennessee Titans and the Jacksonville Jaguars. It was a Jacksonville win. I'm sure they're happy about it in Northern Florida. 21-13 is the score. Toby Gerhart did come through for fantasy owners who were brave enough to start him. Only had 12 carries, did get 53 yards on those 12 carries, picked up another 7 yards on a catch, and he scored a touchdown. So that was very nice for people who needed Gerhart to come through. I don't know if there's really anything else that you want to talk about from this game, Jamie, but if you do, I'll let you do it.
Leon Washington was fantastic.
He caught 7 passes, all 7 of his targets for 62 yards and a touchdown. A lot of it came on the very first drive of the game, and he also had 4 rushes for 11 yards. Bishop Sankey, Sean Green, I don't know if I want to start any Tennessee Titans players. If I can help it, Delanie Walker only came through for 54 yards and 4 catches. He had a nice first half, a bad second half. And the Jacksonville receivers just really, I don't know, they didn't have to do much, to be honest with you. Bortles threw 26 passes, 27 total in the game. They didn't throw for many yards. Just kind of a dud crap game that you could expect to see when bad teams meet in Week 16.
Yep.
Something that maybe we can look at with some other matchups as we look at the AFC home games along with the Seahawks-Cardinals battle, and that's a team with, or a matchup, rather, with 2 very good defenses. But first, how about some news presented by Squarespace? Jamie, what has happened in the National Football League in the last 24 hours?
Let's go by position. Quarterback, it sounds like Cam Newton is going to start, which is good, against the Browns. We'll find out if Joe Hayden plays, because I think that has the ability to make Cam either good or great. I'm going to lean toward good because A, of his back situation, B, because of the run defense of the Browns. So Cam, to me, is not a slam dunk. Mm-hmm. But if you're in that quarterback quandary of Russell Wilson with a tough matchup, Mark Sanchez, RG3, Alex Smith, that group, I think Cam's in the discussion to be a starter. I think he can get you 18-plus points.
Which I think could be pretty good this week.
Yep. So I think he's a good start. He's not a great start. Drew Stanton was able to practice on a limited basis on Thursday, which is a surprise. I don't expect him to play, but it sounds like he could be back for Week 17 and certainly should be ready for the playoffs if anybody's looking at Drew Stanton. Running backs, Eddie Lacy says he's very blind with the eye laceration, so he's going to wear goggles, which could impact his play, but I think anybody who has Eddie Lacy at this point has to play him. Just keep an eye on what happens, if just in case.
It's a reason to get away from him in FanDuel leagues.
Potentially. But just keep an eye on, you know, any situation for Sunday morning. You know how flights can be. People on airplanes tend to, you know,
poke each other's eyes out.
No, but you know, if you get sick, you know, your eyes water, something happens, you know, with traveling.
Does that happen to you?
Well, I mean, my eyes water all the time. So I would just say it's just something to keep an eye on.
All right.
Probably meaningless, but in any event.
Are you sure you just don't cry a lot?
I do. Only when I'm without you. Frank Gore sounds like he's going to play Saturday against the Chargers. Keep an eye on that Saturday.
What do you think about him?
I think he's a low end number 2 flex because no Carlos Hyde's going to give him a lot of work.
Right.
They're probably going to lean on him. I'm sure they want to win the game. San Diego's run defense has been hit or miss.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's an okay guy. I don't want to trust Frank Gore at this point in the season, but I'm not afraid of him.
I don't think you should be picky. I think he's okay this week.
Right. Like I was debating between him and Latavius Murray. I like him better than Murray this week.
Okay.
That's just a comparison.
What's the latest with DeMarco Murray?
I was searching for it. Murray was able to practice on a limited basis on Thursday. Sounds like he's going to be able to go.
Yep.
But you just got to keep an eye on it. He says it's his pain threshold. If he can withstand the pain, he'll be okay. We spoke with Bart Scott on our show on Thursday night, and Bart said if he was playing against DeMarco, he'd be hitting his hand in pregame warmups. You know, he'd walk up to him, hey, what's up, buddy? Smack him on the hand. You know, so he's going to have to deal with that. And I think, you mentioned Eddie Lacy in FanDuel. I would stay away from Murray in FanDuel because you don't want to have a situation where you invest in him and he's out in the middle of a game. You have to gamble on it, though, in seasonal leagues because he's a guy that got you this point. You probably handcuffed him at this, I would hope, at this stage with Joseph Randle. You can't play Randle if Murray's active. I wonder if Murray would be a decoy, make him active.
And then not play him. Maybe he may use him in emergency situations or in the second half or something like that.
I'd be nervous as a Murray owner, but I think if he's active, you just have to roll the dice at this point and say, he's the guy that got me here. He's healthy at least, you know, get it, go with it.
Yeah, sure. I got one on D'Angelo Williams. He was back at practice on a limited basis, but they're concerned about his pass catching abilities and his blocking abilities. So he might not play very much against Cleveland. I'm hoping that they almost make him inactive. But I don't know if I'm ready to run away from Jonathan Stewart, even if D'Angelo is active.
I wouldn't at all. I mean, think about what happened last week with the two running backs in Cincinnati. I would equate it to Stewart being Hill and D'Angelo being Gio, where Gio got 40-plus rushing yards and 8 carries in the fourth quarter. That's where I think D'Angelo would come in if he's healthy, but I don't think he's going to be healthy, like you said. So those are the three main running back things. Receivers a little bit different. There are two big injuries that I think are going to be come down to Sunday. Julio Jones, obviously, and T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah.
Didn't practice Wednesday, didn't practice Thursday. They are, I think, I don't know if they're resigning themselves to being the third seed, but it's going to be tough for them to catch both the two teams in front of them. They both have to lose. They have to win twice. So, because they lose head-to-head to both those teams, to the Broncos and to the Patriots.
They're not locked into the third seed.
Well, I'm saying that's as best as they, that's the best they can do. I don't think they can catch the two teams in front of them.
Right.
They can still lose the three to the Bengals or the Steelers or whoever. Maybe they don't have head-to-head with the Steelers. They do have head-to-head with the Bengals, but the Bengals have
the tie. They tie, so that's not going to happen unless they tie.
Right. So, but I think in terms of chasing the one or the two, they're going to be either the three or the four.
They're obviously going to try against Dallas. It's not like
Without a doubt.
We don't have T.Y. Hilton, so let's just take a knee on first
down. But the reports out of Indianapolis are Reggie Wayne's snap count going to be lowered because of his injury situation. Well, it only makes perfectly sense. If you don't have your horse at less than 100%, why would you run him out there in terms of T.Y. Hilton?
Right.
So they may rest Hilton. They may deactivate Hilton. And I think you got to be prepared for that. You know, so make your.
Would you handcuff him with Dante Moncrief?
Easily.
Is that the move you would do?
Easily. That's if that's the only move you can do. Because Charles Johnson's still out there in a lot of leagues. You can pick him up. He's going to, you know, serviceable number three receiver. He's not T.Y. Hilton. I don't know who else would be out there outside of maybe Harry Douglas in some shallower leagues, 10-team leagues, maybe some 12-team leagues. That's the first move I would make. I'd go Douglas 1, Johnson 2, and probably Moncrief 3. But Moncrief has to be on your radar. So those are the two big injury situations there. Tight end, I think it's kind of status quo at this point.
Yep. He might need to really lean on Kobe Fleener.
Well,
he's a guy who can kind of stretch the field, maybe not necessarily with deep speed, but a matchup problem. He's got big size.
Both tight ends should play a significant role here if Hilton's out.
Any other news?
Nope.
Okay, let's move on to the last NFC home game that we will preview. We previewed most of the other NFC home games on Thursday's podcast. The Seahawks and the Cardinals, to me, I don't want to trust any Arizona Cardinals players if I don't have to. I do have this weird gut feeling that Kerwin Williams will be okay.
Based on
how he looked last week running against a tough Rams defense, opportunities that should remain there for him even though he's taking on Seattle, the fact that he's playing at home, I'm not talking about 130 total yards. I'm not even talking about a touchdown. I'm talking about 80 total yards. Is that out of the question?
No, I think I have him projected for like 70 or 60.
Right, so somewhere close to that. So it's a flex. He's not bad if you're in a pinch. That's what I'm saying.
Would you start him or Brandon Oliver?
I would start him over Brandon Oliver.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
In a PPR, I would take Oliver.
Yeah, I'd take Oliver in both. I don't trust the 49ers' run defense to
slow
they've
down. They have lost a lot of linebackers. I don't trust Brandon Oliver to get every single carry. Donald Brown's going to be in that mix.
Yeah,
more
but
so
you make this the same case as
Stephon Taylor
has.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the same thing. I don't know.
He's a better pass catcher than Williams is, so they'll use Taylor in that when they're chasing points.
Just what you wanted in Week 16, the Brandon Oliver-Kerwin Williams debate. That's the only Arizona Cardinal I would consider.
I wouldn't start any of them.
Okay. And then on the other side with Seattle, Marshawn's going to be a start for you. Doesn't have a great track record against Arizona, and I think it's going to be a tough matchup, but what are your choices at this point?
Well, you just mentioned what Williams was able to do against the Rams. Lynch does this against everybody.
For the most part.
So, whether he's going to catch a touchdown, he'll run a touchdown, he's almost a lock for double digits some way, somehow.
And I feel like, I just think the Seahawks are going to try and just run the ball down their throats. A lot of Marshawn, a lot of zone read, a lot of Russell Wilson running the ball. He had 21 fantasy points against Arizona earlier this season in Seattle. Had over 70 rushing yards. I don't love him. I'm not projecting him for 20 fantasy points.
I am. When they blitz, he breaks containment, and then he's off to the races.
Right.
So I think he's a safe start this week.
Right. He is a top 12 quarterback for both of us. Where do you have him ranked?
10th.
Okay. I've got him a little bit lower than that, but maybe that's just to play it safe with Russell Wilson, since I don't really want to trust any of his receivers. He has thrown a touchdown to a tight end in, I think it's either 4 straight or 5 straight against Arizona. So Cooper Helfitt, back at practice this week.
Yeah, I'll take Luke Wilson.
You can. It might be one of those two.
It's not Moyaki. So.
It's not Moyaki because he's hurt. So if you're just absolutely desperate, you can go ahead and take a look back at one of those two tight ends. And then you're probably flipping a coin because realistically it could be one or the other. And neither of us can say with any certainty who it would be. Both defenses are good. I think the Seahawks defense will be great if Drew Stanton doesn't play. But even if he does, I think the Seahawks DST will be one of the top 5 units on the week. Arizona's DST should still be a top 12 option. And I think the kickers in this game are pretty good. It's indoors. Both of them are good kickers. So if you're kind of wondering what to do a kicker, if Chandler Catanzaro is still out there, you can go and get him.
Oh, I wouldn't touch him at all. Seattle gives up the fewest fantasy points to kickers on the season.
Even though he's at home and even though that offense can move a little bit?
They're not going to move the ball.
Okay. Well, we'll see how that works out. Baltimore at Houston. We're probably going to differ on a couple of things in this game. I think Joe Flacco can throw it, and I think Joe Flacco will throw it. We know about Gary Kubiak and his career at Houston. Probably knows a thing or two about that defense. I always like to play that angle when I look at a matchup, and I think Joe Flacco could be in line for 2 touchdowns in this game, maybe 200 yards passing. I don't know how effective they'll be running the football. I know that Forsett's a little banged up. Didn't like what I saw from him last week.
He's not an injury report at all. So.
He's not. I know, but he's still banged up.
Yeah, but I got to buy into the fact that it seems to be.
I'm not saying he's not going to play. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that he's not at 100%. And I don't know. I think Houston's run defense could come to play in this game, even with Baltimore's O-line being as good as it is. I think play action could be a huge factor, and I think they could attack down the field. Torrey Smith is healthy. Steve Smith is there. So it feels like Flacco's got a real chance to put up numbers this week.
So let me ask
because
why,
of all the receivers.
Why is Torrey Smith healthy and Justin Forsett is not?
Because neither on the injury report? Because I went and I watched last week, and I thought that Forsett just didn't play very well.
Okay.
Thought that was a factor. It's just my take on it. You're going to start Justin Forsett if you've got him. Right?
Yeah, I think they're gonna throw. I don't think they're gonna throw it probably the same level you do, because I do think that they'll be ahead, and when they're typically ahead, they sit on the lead and they run the ball. He's obviously not the greatest quarterback on the road the course of his career, so I don't want to trust Joe Flacco if I don't have to.
He's not a top 12 quarterback for me.
No, I mean I'm sure the.
But I'm starting him. I lost Jay Cutler in a league, and I'm starting Flacco.
I'm sure the guy we differ on. I would start RG3 hands down over Flacco.
Yeah, I can't trust RG3 anywhere. Texans have been solid against the run. They've allowed a touchdown, 3.7 yards per carry over their last 5 games. So keep that in mind with Forsett. Like I said, I like Torrey Smith. Steve Smith's okay. Owen Daniels is a guy that moved up in my rankings. I think he's in that mix of tight ends who could get you 6 points. He had a big game last week. I don't know if he can do it again this week. Really like the Ravens DST this week because of everything that's going on in Houston. It looks like they're going to go with Case Keenum at quarterback. Mm-hmm. On top of that, DeAndre Hopkins is iffy to play. They could go with Thad Lewis, who's been there a month longer than Keenum, but Keenum did spend training camp. It's a bad situation. They're getting Andre Johnson back, which will help them out. DeAndre Hopkins is banged up. I don't see the weakness of that Baltimore defense clearly is in the secondary. I don't see a way that Houston can attack them effectively for 4 quarters. There could be some garbage time numbers in there. There could be some, 2-minute drill offensive numbers in there. But I'm not counting on Houston's guys this week other than Arian Foster to deliver big numbers. Foster, of course, you have to start. But I think the Ravens can focus on him, and I don't know if he's going to end up having a great big game. So you'll start him. I think you'll be happy if he gets you 12, 13 fantasy points in a standard scoring league, maybe even that many in a PPR. But I don't know how Houston keeps up in this game. I think their DST is just okay. I don't think it's great. And I think that's pretty much it. Minnesota at Miami. I look at the Dolphins, and ever since their offensive line got reshuffled, things have been bad for Ryan Tannehill.
10 sacks last 2 games.
Yeah, and things haven't been good for Lamar Miller either. So Do you think that there's a rebound here because of the Vikings defense? Do you think that there's an opportunity for a get right game for the Dolphins?
I think they win ugly. I don't like the line to me is very out of whack.
What is it?
7.5 for Miami. Or six
Miami
and a half
giving
me.
Six and
no,
a half?
6.5. Yeah.
Seems weird. Seems like they want you to put your money on Minnesota.
Yeah.
Usually when that happens, they're on the right
look,
path
the Dolphins
the
are the better
side.
Team. They're at home. You know, Minnesota's been living off this, you know, home stretch, and they played well against Detroit last week in Detroit. But I don't know if they're that good that they're that much of a underdog. Or I'm sorry, I think that they're better than they're that much of an underdog. I don't know what I'm saying. Miami shouldn't be favored that much at home.
What would you make? If you're the odds maker, what do you make?
I'd probably make it 4.
Dolphins giving 4?
Yeah.
I might even go lower than that.
3.5?
Right, which tells me that they're onto something and they think the Dolphins are going to win big.
Maybe. I don't see it that way. I don't know how you view it, but I'd take Minnesota.
I think I took the Dolphins just because I thought that line was so crazy.
But I think Miami wins. I think they win ugly. And so, you know, with their linebackers being banged up, it should help Asiata. They gave up 2 rushing touchdowns last week, so I think he's an okay number 2 guy. I'm using him in FanDuel this week because I think he's got, you know, the type of ability, as we saw at least once this year, to get you a multiple touchdown game. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of yards with it, but he's catching the ball in the backfield, which helps in any sort of PPR value. Mm-hmm. 7 catches last week. So I like him. He's the only guy that I consider a must-start guy from Minnesota, if you want to call him that, because Rudolph is banged up. Charles Johnson is good. He's not great. He's just been inconsistent. You know, 2 games with 7 points, 2 game 7 or more points. I'm sorry, 4 games with 7 or more points, capped at 7 at 2 of them, 2 games with double-digit fantasy points. So he's an okay starter, not a great starter, especially if he's going to get Grimes, which brings Jennings as a third receiver as well. Bridgewater, to me, I think 17 points is about his max.
I'm with you on all that stuff. Lamar Miller is someone I just don't want to trust either just because the Vikings' run defense has been good lately. Did you talk about the Dolphins' wide receivers and where you expect them to
No, start? No. I think Landry's the better of the two. He gets more targets. He's a little bit more consistent.
Mm-hmm.
He did well last week in a tougher matchup because he had more of Revis on him. So I know Wallace had the better stats, but I'll take Landry's line given the opponent. And so I think he's going to avoid Rhodes. I think, you know, you look at it and you say we have to take away Mike Wallace after that game. That's probably where Rhodes goes.
Mm-hmm.
So I like Landry better. But I think Wallace is still okay because he still continues to get you that cheap touchdown at least more times than not. And low end number 2 type guy.
Okay.
But Landry's the better for me.
Is there a DST you like in this game?
The Dolphins better than the Vikings.
But neither one is really that great.
Nope.
Tell me what you like about the Patriots against the Jets.
Well, obviously their passing game,
right,
you know, should be good.
Is this Edelman again?
It should be. You know, both guys were bad in the Week 7 game because Shane Vereen had the 2 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
I guess Gronk had the other one, right?
I believe so.
Gronk scored because Brady threw 2. It was a low-scoring game. This is another one with a strange line. The Patriots are very heavily favored on the road. But I do think that they win this game. It depends which Jets team shows up. Is it we're playing for Rex in? It's either do they have another home game after this, or they're at Miami?
They're at Miami,
right? So it's his last.
I think
home.
That's the game they show up for Rex.
Well, this is the last home game for Rex,
right?
And it's against his biggest rival, but it's also Bill Belichick saying, "I get to kick this guy in the teeth one more time and send him out the door."
It's also Bill Belichick saying, "I need to win to have a shot at that number one seed in the AFC playoffs."
It's win, or is it win? You know, I want to stomp on this guy one final time.
I think he just wants to win no matter what. I don't think he really cares at this point. I almost think he feels a little sorry. You know those rivalries when they start to fizzle out and you know it's the end and you almost feel bad for the guy.
I don't think that's the case.
That happens
with
Bill Belichick all the time.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case with Bill Belichick. I'm sure he would like to.
He's going to win no matter what. He's going to try to win no matter what.
Sure. It doesn't matter how convincingly they win. You're starting Brady. I think he's going to throw a lot in this game. Sounds like Wilkerson's getting healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, which running backs show up for the Patriots is always a gamble. I would still take Blunt first, Vereen second, Gray third, because Gray's production last week came in a lot of garbage time. So I still think he's not fully back as feature guy.
I think Percy Harvin's a sneaky sleeper this week, just because
he thinks he's getting Revis
difficult. I don't know. I don't know if I would want to do that if I'm New England.
Well, it would make sense though, just based on how they've been going about it. Revis on the faster guy, Browner on the bigger guy,
mm-hmm.
And so if that's the approach, then that's where they'll put Revis and Decker, Revis and Browner respectively. I agree with you. It probably makes more sense to take away Decker and see what Harvin does. But Harvin and there's a report from the Jets' perspective that that's how they're approaching it, that's where Revis will go.
Okay. Patriots defense is one that I like the most. Jets DST, no one would touch with a 10-foot pole,
yep,
which is not surprising. This is your reminder that today's podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, where you can easily create your own professional website or online portfolio. It is now redesigned, and you've heard us talk about it. It's the Squarespace 7 interface. It includes integration with Google Apps, 15 new templates, a new addition to their product called Cover Pages, and a partnership with Getty Images. It's got great support staff. It starts at $8 a month, and it includes a free domain name when you sign up for a year. You can start a free trial. No credit card required. Build the website you want today, and you can get 10% off with the offer code FUN when you go to squarespace.com. Squarespace. Start here. Go anywhere. Jamie, let's move on to a game that should be high scoring. I think it could be high scoring, and it's got two quarterbacks that I like a lot this week, the Chiefs and the Steelers. And now Ben Roethlisberger at home, pretty safe bet to put up some numbers. Le'Veon Bell's on fire. But Alex Smith against this against the Steelers defense, and it's a matchup that's really favorable for him. It wouldn't surprise me one bit if Alex Smith finishes a top 12 quarterback this week because of what's in front of him and because of what he's done the last 4 weeks, three games with multiple touchdowns, a couple of 20-point fantasy weeks in there. If I lost Jay Cutler, Alex Smith to me is the ideal replacement for him. I couldn't get him in the league where I did have Jay Cutler. I had to settle for Flacco, like I said. But Alex Smith, I think, is a sleeper worth chasing this week.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's a lot to like. I forget the list of quarterbacks, but it's like
oh,
six
I've got
in
some
a row
names. Yeah.
Of guys who have gone over 20 fantasy
Eight
points.
Straight quarterbacks have posted at least 20 fantasy points against the Steelers. I'd like a drum roll, please, because here are the names of some of the quarterbacks that have done well. Andy Dalton, Zach Mettenberger, Ryan Fitzpatrick, and even Michael Vick. So this Steelers secondary, I don't see them showing up to the point where they're going to put the boots to Alex Smith. He plays a pretty conservative style of offense, but I think he's got an attempt to throw touchdowns. And here's my bold prediction of the week. He will throw a touchdown to a wide receiver. What do you think of that? He hasn't done it all year. This is the week he does it.
I don't see it.
You don't see it? You think Kelsey gets two? Or you
no.
think Kelsey gets one and a running back gets one? Something
I
like
think
that?
It's Fasano gets his usual one. And then it's either Kelsey or one of the running backs.
I got a sleeper this week. And I don't know if I'm ready to use him with much aplomb, but I like the speed and quickness of Albert Wilson of the Kansas City Chiefs. He's their slot receiver, small guy, very fast. And as I wrote in the fantasy cheat sheet this week, you have to be a special kind of crazy to like any of these guys. But I think they're both on the fringe of number three receivers. I actually think Wilson could be more helpful in a PPR than a standard league. But let's think about it. If Kansas City's playing from behind and forced to throw and the matchup is favorable, I think Alex Smith can put it in his hands and Dwayne Bowe's hands. And I think Wilson's speed sets him apart from Bowe, who just doesn't have that speed anymore. One play could make it with Albert Wilson. I'm thinking about using him in FanDuel because I don't think a lot of people are going to use him. Right. It's dirt cheap value. It's a Kansas City wide receiver. They haven't scored. It's a shot in the dark. But maybe if you're desperate for a wide receiver, Wilson is somebody that you could find on your waiver wire. I think he's owned in like 1% of leagues or something like that. So no one's really chasing down Albert Wilson at this point. What about Martavis Bryant, who is
a gamble.
The
targets have
dwindled now. And if you take away the one big catch he had against Cincy, he's been a dud since the bye week.
Yeah, it just makes him hard to trust. Would I be surprised if he had a big game? No. Would I be surprised if he had a bad game? No. You know, so it's kind of just that's what you deal with when you deal with these boomer bust type receivers. You know, he's touchdown dependent. So it's just one of those situations where if you have him, okay, maybe I'll start him. I wouldn't trust him in FanDuel at his price. It's $6,600. It's too much for me.
I agree.
So there's a lot to like, but there's also a lot to want to avoid.
Staying with the Steelers passing game, I think Heath Miller is a decent plug and play at tight end. He's had either 6, 7, or 8 fantasy points in each of his last 4 games. I don't have a problem going with him this week. I think he could be okay. And I'm with you on Kelsey. I think Kelsey has a big game. I wouldn't trust either DST in this one, but Kansas City would be my favorite of the two. Buffalo and Oakland is an interesting game, and I almost think it's like a quasi-trap game for Buffalo because they've got that Week 17 game against New England. They know they've got a playoff shot. If they can't go into this game thinking, well, we need to win out. They can't think about it as a two-game season. I think they really need to focus on Oakland first. Mm-hmm. And I think Fred Jackson, and maybe I'm crazy, and you can call me crazy if you want to, I think Fred Jackson is a number one running back this week in fantasy football. All right, good. So I'm not the only crazy one in this room.
So one thing would be is that the last two teams that they faced at home, they've won.
Oakland. Yeah, Oakland's won their last two home games.
Right. Against Chiefs Thursday night. Charles still played well in that game.
Mm-hmm. And then against 49ers, however. But the 49ers are just a mess right now.
49ers are a mess right now. So the one thing would be is just, you know, don't get goo-goo gaga about the Bills thinking it's going to be a runaway because
Oakland plays tough.
To their credit, they've done a nice job in their building. But yeah, I think Fred Jackson is a must-start guy. To me, he's the only must-start guy, though, because Sammy Watkins has been a disaster outside of the Broncos game.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think you have to start him based on his upside in a favorable matchup. But I don't do it with a lot of confidence.
Yeah, I'm a little more confident on Watkins.
But based on what?
Because I think Oakland can keep it close, just like you said. Oakland in their last two games.
But close or chasing? Because the only time we've seen Watkins play well recently is when they've been dramatically chasing.
Right. It's true. And I do think Fred Jackson does get a lot of work. He's had at least 18 touches each of the last 3 weeks. He's had 20 carries in two of the last three games. C.J. Spiller is going to get activated, but I don't think he's going to play. So, yeah, you have a very good point on Sammy Watkins, and I probably should move him down in my rankings. I like the talent a lot. I like the matchup. I don't love the matchup. I don't like the quarterback, and that's a big problem.
Well, the thought was
that's really what I think is starting to sabotage Watkins' numbers, is that Orton's been playing poorly.
He's also been spreading the ball around.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he didn't
need to throw nearly as much as I thought.
No, the expectation when they went to Orton from E.J. Manuel was, A, we needed to get some semblance of a better passing situation, but B, you got to get Sammy Watkins going because we made this investment in this guy. We got to see if he's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And it started out that way, and it's, you know, dissipated since Watkins' injury and Kyle Orton realizing, okay, if we can still win with Robert Woods and Chris Hogan making plays.
What do you think of Latavius Murray this week?
I think he's good, not great. I mean, look, he's going to get a lot of work, which is good. The matchup's not as horrific as it was, you know, early in the season because Buffalo's run defense has sprung some leaks recently.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you've been using Murray as a number two or flex option this week, I would stick with it. Like I said, he's in the conversation with Frank Gore. He's in the conversation with Asiata.
Is he in the – so Asiata, to me, I think, is a shot for better than 80 total yards. If we set the line at 80 total yards, all right, and we've got Latavius Murray –
see, I don't like Asiata as a yards guy. I like him as a touchdown guy.
Okay, so then 30 yards and a touchdown. That puts him above 80 yards.
Yeah.
Okay, well then, so he's way above getting 80 yards. So 8 fantasy points. Let's change that line.
He's above 8 fantasy
line
points.
To 8
yes.
fantasy points.
Yep.
We have Kerwin Williams behind that line. We have Brandon Oliver very close to that line, maybe a little bit behind that line.
Mm-hmm.
So where do you put Latavius Murray?
Right at that line.
Right at that line?
Yeah,
80 total yards.
I think eight fantasy points is safe for him. 10 is a good day. Anything above that is a great day.
I think he's got potential to do better than 8. I think he could get into the 9 range. Buffalo's run defense has been beaten up the last couple of weeks. It's been by great running backs in great, powerful offense.
Sure, C.J. Anderson and Eddie Lacy.
The thing that bothers me the most about Murray is that the coaching staff just hasn't given him a great workload.
Well,
last week they did.
They did it at home.
Before they did.
They did it at home against the 49ers. He had 23 carries in that game. Last week he got off to a great start, and they went away from him. So I don't think Buffalo is going to run away from Oakland enough to get away from Latavius Murray, and I think Tony Sperano realized the error of his ways based on the comments he said. So it sounds as if, you know, they're going to give Murray every chance. Look, Derek Carr's been beaten up a lot, and this is a great pass rush. Mm-hmm. So how do you offset a great pass rush? You run the ball. So I think you're going to see enough of Latavius Murray to like him. It's just a matter of we haven't seen him find the end zone since the Chiefs game.
Okay, what about Michael Rivera? I know you're not a big fan of his. I think he's okay in a PPR just because he's catching a
sure.
lot of passes.
He'll catch
he's
five
just not
passes
doing.
So.
Last week he didn't do a lot with it. 2 weeks ago he did. And just like any other Raiders pass catcher, it's very flaky. 1 week could be a big game, and the next week it could be 30 yards. So this isn't the time to go and trust a Raiders wideout.
No.
In fantasy football. Bills DST is one I like a lot. Scott Chandler, to me, has a chance to score a touchdown. That's
nope.
really about it. I think he's like a 6-point max guy. So if you're desperate at tight end, Scott Chandler or a Seahawks guy?
Seahawks guy.
Really?
I don't trust Chandler at all.
I would go Chandler over Seahawks guy. This Sunday, FanDuel is hosting a $2 million guaranteed tournament. It's called their Sunday Million Tournament. The top winner will walk away with 200,000 clams. And I mean money, not actual clams that you might eat or find at the beach. Only $25 to enter. It starts Sunday at 1 o'clock. It does not include any players that played on Thursday or on Saturday. So you can't use your 49ers and Chargers. You can't use your Eagles or Redskins. And, of course, you can't use Titans and Jaguars. Otherwise, you'd probably plug in Toby Gerhardt in your lineup if you could. Sign up at FanDuel.com. Use the promo code CBSWIN, W-I-N. I'll spell the whole thing. CBSWIN. And they'll match your first deposit dollar for dollar up to $200. Go to FanDuel.com before Sunday's game. Click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner and enter code CBSWIN. Jamie, you talked about who'd you talk about that was on your FanDuel team this week?
Asiata.
Give me one more player that you're going to use.
I can tell you my whole lineup if you want it.
I don't want that. I want to tease it because we talk about it on today's video. So I want everybody to go to CBSSports.com to get our full lineups.
Sure. Colston is in my lineup.
Marcus Colston is in your lineup. Mm-hmm. I love the Panthers' defense. They're in my lineup.
They're in my lineup, too.
Okay, let's close it out with the last game. And a reminder before we get into the last game, which is the Broncos and the Bengals, Jamie and I will be hosting the Week 16 edition of Eye on Fantasy Football on CBS Sports Radio. It is Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern time, 7 p.m. California time or Vegas time if you're there, or you know, Portland time. You know what I'm talking about, the West Coast. And we're going to take a lot of phone calls and help everybody get ready. A little bit of last-minute fantasy football advice.
Would
turn
like
us on
tease?
While you're watching. Hold on. Turn us on while you're watching the late game on Saturday.
Like a little tease for the Week 17 Eye on Fantasy Football radio show?
Sure.
Going to do a little This Is Your Life with Adam Azer.
Oh, wow. So oh, I want to be there for that.
You will be calling in.
Okay.
As I'm telling you now. And we will surprise Adam with the calls to
see if
he can guess who the caller is.
Oh, that's really nice.
Yes. So we'll give you guys all the opportunity to call in. Because obviously it's the fantasy implications for Week 17 are going to be minimal, but we still have a radio show to do. So we'll make it all about Adam in his farewell tour.
I'm sure they'll love that at CBS Sports Radio.
He doesn't know this yet. Well, it'll be fun. You will call in, Dave. You will give your little joke, tease, whatever to Adam, and then I will ask you for a piece of fantasy advice for that day.
Okay, that sounds nice. Sounds like a good time, and I know everybody has appreciated Adam's work, and he's not here, but... we're going to miss him terribly while he's gone.
Yep.
Broncos, Bengals. Peyton Manning has been a dud for 3 straight weeks. Are you worried about it stretching to 4 straight weeks against Cincinnati? Jamie Eisenberg, the fantasy world turns its eyes to you.
Well, I mean, you got to be worried about it. You know, it's just a matter of who do you have to replace him. That's what it comes down to. I'm not starting Alex Smith over Peyton Manning. That's not a move I'm going to make. Mm-hmm. I'm not starting Sanchez or RG3 or Flacco or any of these guys. There's no way. But if I handcuffed all season long Peyton and Roethlisberger, Peyton and Romo, Peyton and Wilson, I think you have to go the safe route and go away from Peyton Manning. There's going to be a game in the next 2 weeks where he comes out and has a monster performance. It could be this week. It's Monday night. He's going to know what the Patriots have done. So he has, you know, potentially something extra incentive to play for. I don't think you're going to see 30-plus carries for C.J. Anderson. He's going to get his work. You're starting him. But I still think, you know, you just have to sort of say, okay, Peyton's got me to this point. I don't think he'll be worse than 17 points. So I'll take that as the floor with the chance that this is a 30-point game. You know, because, look, there have been times, it was 2 weeks ago, I think it was Tracy Wilson who told us he missed on 4 throws in the red zone. If he gets those 4 throws.
If he gets 2 of those throws, his numbers are better.
His numbers are better.
Sure.
So it's not like he's that far off. It's not like his receivers are banged up or missing. So I think the closer Julius Thomas gets to being 100%, it's going to help him. He'll have his receivers make some plays, make some easy throws. You know, maybe we get back to the wide receiver screen to Demaryius Thomas, which we haven't seen in a few weeks outside of.
We saw it a little bit.
We saw it in the red zone.
We saw some screens.
I want to see it, you know, at the 20-yard line and see Demaryius. He hasn't really broken one of those in a while, which is what made him unbelievable the last 2 years. So I'm starting Peyton, but I'm not starting him with the usual confidence.
I think he'll have time to throw, which helps him. Cincinnati is among the league worst in sacks. They don't put a lot of pressure on the quarterback. He is undefeated in five career games against Marvin Lewis's Bengals.
Yeah, but he can win without that.
He's posted at least three touchdowns in four of those five games, and we're talking about going back. This includes his days in Indianapolis. He's done a nice job against this scheme and Marvin Lewis's guys. So I think Peyton Manning is still a very good start this week. Not a top five quarterback, but certainly somebody in the top 10. C.J. Anderson, I think, is a pretty obvious start for everybody. I don't think anybody's going to get away from him. I don't love the matchup for Jeremy Hill. In the last 10 games, Denver's allowed one rushing touchdown to a running back. Only three running backs have had 11 fantasy points, and that's the high mark against the Denver Broncos. It's not about splitting carries. I don't know if he gets a workload even close to last week. I think Jeremy Hill is kind of risky this week, but at this point, I'm starting him in one of my championships. But it's just because I don't like my other options. He's my number two running back. And I think that's what the expectations have to be. I think he's a mistake in FanDuel. And I think there's just too much risk with him this week.
15 carries. If he gets 15 carries, he's hit double digits of fantasy points.
He's done that every time? Or
every time.
There hasn't been there?
Nope. Five times he's had 15 or more carries. Five times double digits of fantasy points.
I don't think he can do it this time. I think he needs more than 15 carries to get there.
I don't
Unless
think
he gets into the end zone. That's really what it comes down
to. Yeah, I think he will score. I mean, look, the Broncos are now down Marshall and Trevathan. You know, so those are two guys that they're missing on their defense, which is going to help Jeremy Hill. You know Hugh Jackson's going to come out and run the ball because they want to keep Peyton Manning and their offense off the field. So I think there's an opportunity for Jeremy Hill to be good. I don't think he will be great. And I know for me in my rankings, 14, 15, 16 is Hill, Forte, McCoy. And the reason that they're there is because I don't want to start Matt Asiata, Lamar Miller,
right.
Steven Jackson,
Alfred Morris. Too many other players.
Over those guys. One of them might be better. Like you have Steven Jackson ranked ahead of
McCoy. Yeah, I think Jackson could score and get some yardage.
Right, he absolutely could. There's been many times this year where Steven Jackson could score and he didn't. So you're looking at what the potential upside is for Hill, for Forte, and for McCoy if they play to their level. But that's why they're 14, 15, 16 as opposed to 8, 9, and 10.
Is there any concern about A.J. Green? I think you've got to go to him, even with the quality cornerbacks
Denver
has.
No, they will throw enough if they're chasing it. He'll do okay.
Andy Dalton, to me, plays poorly in the spotlight.
Well, it's not to you. It's to the world.
Okay, fine. So it's not just me. I'm glad. I can't trust him, and that makes me nervous about A.J. Green. I'm still going to start A.J. Green. I'm not trusting anybody else in the Cincinnati passing game. Green's probably my favorite Bengal to go with. And then Hill I'm okay with just by default because running back I think is just ugly this week. And the rest of it is just it's just there. I'm not a huge fan of Julius Thomas. I think we would have cut him by now if he wasn't Julius Thomas, if he didn't have
he's touchdown
a great
dependent.
Season. He's
he very, didn't have a great he, season. He had a lot of touchdowns.
Well, I'm talking more about last year. Like last year, the big breakout year. This year, he got off to a very hot start with all the touchdowns. I think people cling to that, and that's why they keep starting him. I'm not very confident in him, yet he's a top 12 tight end for me. So kind of talking out of both sides of my mouth. I think the Broncos DST is worth starting, and I really think that that's it with this game. Somehow I think Cincinnati can keep it close, but ultimately I think the Broncos win. Have you added Tim Tebow to any of your rosters yet?
No.
This is your fun, friendly reminder that if you're looking at your roster Saturday night and you want to add a little good luck karma, it's worked for me, and I know a lot of people have done it. Drop a player that you're definitely not going to start. Pick up Tim Tebow. Keep him on your bench. Don't start Tim Tebow. And have a little good luck karma going with your team in the championship game. That would not hurt. Do we have time for some emails by any chance, Jamie?
Sure.
Would you like to pick a few out?
Sure.
I would love it if you would pick out a few emails and we can answer the good people of the podcast and help get their lineups ready to go. For the final regular season week, for most fantasy leagues, for those of you wondering what happens in Week 17, there will be podcasts, multiple podcasts in Week 17. Tuesday, we'll look back at Week 16, go over some waiver picks, and it's Adam's last podcast.
Potentially.
So potentially Adam's last podcast. I will interview him and kind of pick his brain a little bit on his life as a part of this podcast. And then Jamie and I will be back Wednesday and Friday of next week to break down AFC and NFC home games. And implication of playoff scenarios and what teams have something to play for.
And a look ahead to 2015.
What teams won't. I don't know if we need to do a lot of a look ahead to 2015 because, you know, we do keep this thing going throughout the offseason. We don't
just
quit.
Yeah, but, I mean,
just
for people that are out of it or may lose that they want to.
You want to talk about maybe the first round of the 2015 fantasy draft?
Yep.
And where we stand on that right now?
Yep.
Sounds good to me. All right, read me an email, please.
Dear Miller, Reiben, I think it's Reiben, R-E-I-B-E-N, Reiben, okay. And Jackson, I don't know who that is. I'm in the championship game of my two-quarterback league. I had Jay Cutler as my second quarterback. Should I start Ryan Tannehill or the newly acquired RG3 as my quarterback? Thanks. P.S. Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
Well, we're going to differ on this one just because I'm not ready to trust RG3. I don't really feel good trusting Ryan Tannehill either. I don't
I'll
either of these
RG3
guys.
I'll take RG3 all day long.
You'll
I think
take
RG3 is going to have a very good game this week, and I think you'd be happy to pick him up.
Okay. It doesn't really – to me, it doesn't really matter. They're both kind of the same guy. The one thing that I like is that the matchup is easier for Tannehill. It's not easier for Tannehill than it's for RG3. I just don't like RG3.
That's
I don't,
fine.
He
you're,
hasn't
you're
put up numbers.
You're entitled to your feelings
and
on it.
I don't
have to
see,
justify it.
I don't see a situation where he's going to come out and just put up huge numbers and run for a bunch. I just
– Yeah, my prediction this week is first 20-point game.
I applaud your guts. All right, what else you got?
Dear Egon, Spangler, and Venkman, listening to your podcast this week and looking at our rankings, it sounded like you're both pretty high on Jeremy Hill despite his matchup. Do I need to find room for him in my lineup along with these other running backs of Marshawn Lynch or Joik Bell? He starts two running backs, two wide receivers in the flex, and his wide receivers are Roddy White, Alshon Jeffrey, Jeremy Maclin, and Odell Beckham.
I wouldn't touch Jeremy Hill.
I would agree. I would say Beckham and Maclin should be your receivers.
And Roddy
Lynch
White in the flex.
And Joik Bell should be your running backs. And then you're benching Alshon and you're benching Jeremy Hill.
Right. I agree with you on that one. And we just got done talking about Jeremy Hill and the concerns that we have for him.
Dear Gable, Sanderson, and Burroughs.
I feel like we should know that one. Sanderson and Burroughs. No, I don't know it.
I'm in the finals, and I'm a DeMarco Murray owner. If he sits, I will start Randall with confidence. My indecision is if he plays. I have a solid enough team that I should be fine as long as I get 10 points from the running back position. If DeMarco plays, do I start him or go with Dan Heron or Steven Jackson instead? The rest of my roster is Andrew Luck, Odell Beckham, Randall Cobb, Kelvin Benjamin, Jamal Charles, and Gronk. I am just so afraid DeMarco will start but only play limited reps. So we kind of touched on this a little bit earlier. I'm not starting those other guys over DeMarco Murray.
No chance. When's the last time the Cowboys organization kept a secret?
I don't know.
If there's a team that leaks information to the media more than anyone else.
But I don't think this is a will he or won't he situation. If he plays, they're going to let him play. I'm sorry, if he's active, they're going to let him play. My concern all along has been if he takes a hit to the hand and, oh my gosh, this hurts too much, I can't go.
Mm-hmm.
Or he's ineffective, or he fumbles, or can't catch the ball. That's my concern. It's not active play or no play. I don't think it's they're playing games at this point.
Well, the point I was making is that we will probably get a report from Jason LaCanfora Sunday morning about whether or not DeMarco will be active and what he will do. And my guess is that we will hear DeMarco is going to be active, and they expect him to play without limitations, maybe pulling him in some passing down situations. That's what I expect to hear.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going on. And if he plays, the Cowboys are fighting for their playoff lives. I think he's worth starting. And the emailer's looking for 10 fantasy points from Murray. I would be stunned if he couldn't do that, even with a broken hand.
This is Chandon from San Diego.
Chandon.
Dear Ren and Stimpy, I hope today's the day you read an email on Friday. I had Cutler a quarterback and picked up Dalton. My other options on the wire are Kyle Orton, Jimmy Clausen, Josh McCown, and Teddy Bridgewater. Do I have a better option than Dalton for the championship week?
I don't want to trust Andy Dalton, do you?
No.
I would rather go with Bridgewater against the Dolphins. I like the way he's been playing lately. You can make the case for McCown against Green Bay as well.
And Orton. Against the Raiders.
Yeah. I don't know if I like Kyle Orton that much. So I would go with either McCown. It depends on if your league penalizes heavily for turnovers. And if it's a league where it's 6 points for a passing touchdown and no points for a turnover or minus one for an interception, then, yeah, McCown's the way to go.
Go Bridgewater.
But if it's 4 points for a passing touchdown and minus two for an interception, I feel like Bridgewater's a little bit safer.
We done or you want more?
Give me one more.
That's just a Die Hard is a Christmas movie one.
Which is true.
Dear Kurt, Mark, and Sam, I'm in the championship game, but I've had the worst luck at quarterback. I drafted RG3 and Carson Palmer and traded for Jay Cutler midseason. I picked up Tannehill and Cam Newton off waivers, and RG3 was just dropped by another team. Who do I go with? That's from Ryan in Ozark, and he wishes Adam the best of luck. Love the baseball and football podcast.
Thank you very much. I would go with Cam. I think Cam is safe, simple, good matchup at home. Joe Hayden, not expected to play. As long as that's the case, I think Cam Newton is a very good start.
Cam is a safer one. I'll take RG3 for his upside.
Look at you. You are all in on RG3. Where do you have him ranked?
13th.
So he's not even in your top 12?
No. I don't think he's a slam dunk. But okay. I mean, I'm talking about the color people who missed out that RG3 is available. And Cam is safer. I'm not going to argue that. I think I gave RG3 more projections because I think he's going to have a better game.
How many rushing yards did you give him?
40.
Okay. I'd be interested to see how that works out, and we will all see together how that works out on Saturday when the Eagles and Redskins play. It's been a great season. We wish you nothing but the best of luck in your fantasy football playoffs. We will be back for a Sunday evening podcast, so you can download that and hear about it wherever you download this podcast, whether it's on iTunes or from CBSSports.com or whatever. And don't forget the Saturday radio show and Sunday morning, 11 a.m., Fantasy Football Today. All the news and notes you need to get your lineup set and ready to kick some butt in Week 16 fantasy football action. Jamie, good luck to you in your finals.
You too.
Good luck to me in my finals. Good luck to you guys in your finals. Thanks for coming out.